conclusion.
One little short story, then a question. I was listening to a radio play, and the author had, it was an allegorical play, and the author had created a being that she called a push-me-pull-me antelope. And what she had done was to put, make it a two-ended being, like a two-headed deer. One end male, one end female. And the male was very engineering-oriented, and the female was, on the other end, just concerned with other things. But it reminded me of the story of the Bedouin and his wife. Except in this case, there was no possibility of divorce. You were just together, right? And then the other thing I was wondering, what is there a relationship between John and Jahan? Because I was reading, Nicholson uses the term Shamsi John and Shamsi Jahan. And I've also heard it in terms of Nur Jahan and Nur John. I know that they complement each other, like the world, the worldly and the spiritual. And does it apply for all the names? Like, can you say Hai John and Hai Jahan or any of the other names like that?
From the linguistic point of view, John and Jahan, they rhyme together. That's all. John refers not to a spirituality, it refers more to life itself. And that's what John means. Because to be used as, we say, Jandar. Jandar means something who has John, and by that we mean living creatures. So John is life, is the essence of life. John has two different meanings. It depends how you pronounce it or how you look at it. The obvious one, John means a universe. But if you read it, Jahan means something that jumps, because Jadidan, Jastan is jumping. And Jahan, Jahande, is running in both ways. Sometimes it plays with it, but rather than that, there is no. It's just rhyming together. They look alike. Let's go back to this man and woman. What happened to this man and woman? Do you remember?
They fought.
Yes.
He threatened divorce.
Uh-huh.
They made up.
Uh-huh.
And
how did they make up?
She, the wife gave in, or?
What?
What's the word? Surrendered.
Surrendered.
Yes.
Why?
She was afraid of divorce.
Because she had no other way. She could do nothing but surrendering, because that was it. Divorce. Mm-hmm. And by divorce, if the man will divorce the woman, what will happen?
She will die.
She will disappear, not death.
Oh.
It doesn't exist. If and you do it, don't you? You divorce your intelligence. When you're drunk, that's why the man could threaten the woman by divorce. The woman cannot. My intelligence cannot divorce me. But I could divorce my intelligence. That's inequality over there. Because before that, we would see them opposing each other as equals. That's the main thing to remember. We are not equal. Me and my intelligence, we're not equal. I am the principal one here. Intelligence is mine, is a part of me. And I could give it up, so it's not the real part of me. Real part of me is my life. Intelligence is an instrument for life to go on and live, right? So, if you understand that completely, then you are the boss. Because your intelligence will understand that, okay, you depend on me. I have to be here, then intelligence has a use. Right? So the woman surrendered. And
her surrendering inspired the man to surrender.
Why?
Because he couldn't live without her either.
Rumi didn't say it like that. Rumi did it better way. Because you love your intelligence.
In love.
He said, when you love your intelligence, when intelligence doesn't obey you, imagine when it obeys you. You will love it even better. Because, okay, my intelligence depends on me, but I love my intelligence because I need it. I need it, and normally I don't divorce it because I love it. I depend on my intelligence, right? If my intelligence understands that she's not the boss, then naturally I will love her more. That's why man surrendered. So it could happen in you. How? Just by realization of priorities, suddenly you have a good intelligence. If your intelligence is up to a level to understand that there is something more important than intelligence, then everything is okay. You surrender to what? To whatever she wants, because that